The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, I'm talking to Naomi Wolf, the new book, The Bodies of Others, The New Authoritarians, COVID-19, and the War Against the Human, a brilliant thesis, and you really, you pull it all together magnificently, Naomi. We were just talking about something, and you were making a point about what happened in Germany even before the Nazis consolidated power and Hitler becomes chancellor in early 33. Continue making that point, because it's fascinating.
Sure. I mean, it's heartbreaking. I will. I'll just say my tribe on the elite left, our fatal flaw is that, as you pointed out, we think we're good people. Therefore, if one of ours, like, you know, Biden or Harris or Dr. Fauci, does monstrous things, it can't really be happening because we're good people. And that is a fatal flaw of self-reflection. But I was saying that, I wrote an essay about this, actually. It's incorporated in the book. I get these emails and direct messages all the time from people saying, oh, Naomi, you're so brave. I wish I could. I agree with you. I wish I could stand up like you. But of course I can't, because my boss will get mad at me, or I'll have some professional blowback. These are not people who are going to go hungry if they stand up and tell the truth. These are people who, you know, might have to find a new high-paying job, or might have to not be invited to some cocktail parties. But they are colluding with lies so monstrous and so damaging. I mean, I've got a team looking at the Pfizer documents and a team of researchers. And what's emerging from these documents, protected, only released under court order, that they wanted to hide for 75 years, is that an attack on the human race, you know, so extensive, with harms so vast, that the people who are covering for it are really committing crimes against humanity. And those are the people writing to me saying, you know, I wish I had your courage. Or journalists, you know, I'd love to talk about, you know, how useless lockdowns are, but my boss will be annoyed. You know, and I have no respect for this, because if you know the history of totalitarian collapses or democratic collapses into a fascist state, which is where we're at right now, you know that if you don't speak up now, you are not safe.
This is exact. I mean, it's funny and horrible that this is exactly what I just finished writing about yesterday in this short book. It's called Letter to the American Church, specifically at American evangelicals, anyone who takes faith particularly seriously. But the willingness to do what you just said, to say, but I'm just going to hang back. I'm not going to be a brave voice. I don't know. Just to find whatever excuse it is. But at the heart of it, it's horrifying, because you realize that these people claim to have values, but make clear what their values are. You make precisely clear. I think it was Jefferson's quote in a letter in 1812 or something to somebody, that your life – I've been saying this for a while, but when I heard Jefferson say this 200 years ago, that it is your life that shows your religion. What you do, you behave. People know, God knows, the devil knows exactly what you worship by how you live. And when you're willing to let things happen so that your boss doesn't get mad at you, whatever, how can you possibly be angry at Germans for allowing the Holocaust to happen? They were just, you know, they just didn't want to lose their job, their social standing, whatever it is. This is precisely how we all go to hell, precisely. And we're seeing it happen now. And you just said it. You're getting emails from people, and it's a little bit astonishing. You just want to say, well, so what, do you believe in anything? Do you have any fundamentals, any virtue, any principles? It's but Naomi, look, you and I were in college at a time where I feel like even the concept of virtue was already out of fashion. It was mocked. Honor, these things were already being mocked in the culturally elite circles where we went. That's for rubes. That's for people in flyover country to talk about, you know, patriotism or love of country, or love of truth. What is truth? That's been percolating for many decades, and this is the fruit.
Yeah. You really opened my eyes to that in our early conversation. You're right. And I do think that, you know, the CCP has had a profound impact on college campuses. There's institutes called Confucius Institutes that were opened across the country. I'm sure you've spoken about that before. And I see the impact on our curriculum. And it's making me rethink everything, like feminism. Feminism should be about embracing women's role in every aspect of our lives, including maternity and family. And in the West, it's been distilled down to just abortion, right? Well, that's kind of a, you know, satanic and Marxist way to look at this complex issue of how women can be free. And there's so many examples. You know, you and I talked about deconstruction and how it strips poetry of meaning, and it strips literature of meaning, and it strips these our culture of dimensional meaning, human meaning. Well, this escalated and I really tease this out in The Bodies of Others, where I look at like what got targeted culturally and what got targeted in terms of faith. Culture makes us strong. And cultures where the Western values of, you know, the lessons about morality and honor and meaning get transmitted. Well, culture got targeted. You know, you could go to a liquor store, you could go to a pot store in some states. You couldn't go to the theater. You couldn't go to hear a concert. You know, you couldn't hear Mozart in a group of human beings. And religion, you know, your faith took 2,000 years. And a great rabbi, you know, radically changed the social contract in saying, I'm going to sit at a table with prostitutes and thieves, and all of them are going to go to heaven, you know, if they behave like good people, and totally upended all the social contracts that came before. My synagogue broke up with me because I tried to gather people in my living room who wanted to gather to, you know, have Shabbat evening services. And then I said, okay, I'll take any religion. And I reached out to the Catholic Church up the road. And they were like, well, if you're vaccinated, you can sit over there and you can have the kiss of peace. And if you're unvaccinated, you have to social distance and be masked and you have to sit separately. And, you know, across the river, that synagogue didn't even let unvaccinated people in the building. So where I'm going with this is this methodology was targeting and undoing 4,000 years of faith in my religion's case, 2,000 years of faith in your religion's case, you know, the social contract of monotheism that raised people up above the level of beasts. And they succeeded. I mean, 2 years on, a lot of churches and synagogues just don't convene anymore. In Martha's Vineyard, they're not even meeting in person. It's all on Zoom, you know, Zoom bat mitzvahs. And the relationships that hold God in our communities are undone because of 2 years of people not convening. That's not an accident. That was intentional.
Well, there's so many levels of this. It's staggering. But the through line for me at least, and it sounds like for you too, is deeper. And I mean, I have to say, you know, I didn't read your book, The End of America, in 2008, which in many ways is the precursor to this book. But I have to repent of my own guilt in going along with the narrative when it essentially, I thought, suited me or the purposes that I cared about. It's the same thing. Because I'm a sinner, I am tempted to say, well, I think George Bush is a good guy. He's doing good stuff. And I don't think he's capable of doing anything really terrible, and kind of taking my eye off the ball. There are always people like my regular guest, John Zmirak, who saw this at the time, who is a conservative, devout Christian who went against the tide. And so it's a little bit humiliating. And I think a lot of people, to be hopeful, are going to wake up, are waking up, are seeing the horror, are seeing some of the fruit of this, and are slowly waking up and saying, you know what, I missed, I didn't realize, I got caught up in it. I do see some of that happening, and one of the things we're going to have to do is forgive those people and welcome them in. We're going to be right back, folks. Final segment, talking to Naomi Wolf. Brand new book, The Bodies of Others. I like knowing exactly where my meat comes from. And with Moink, that place is from small family farms all across the country. You can help save the family farm and get access to the highest quality meat on earth when you join the Moink movement today. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and sustainable wild-caught Alaskan salmon straight to your door. Moink farmers farm like our grandparents did, and as a result, Moink meat tastes like it should. The Moink difference is a difference you can taste, and you can feel good knowing you're helping family farms stay financially independent, too. Moink is helping save rural America. I love it, and you will, too. Join the Moink movement today. Keep American farming going by signing up at moinkbox.com/Eric right now. And listeners of this show get free filet mignon in every order for a year. That's 1 year, the best filet mignon you'll ever taste, but for a limited time, spelled moinkbox.com/Eric. That's moinkbox.com/Eric. moinkbox.com/Eric. Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. Hey, folks, we're talking to Naomi Wolf. Naomi Wolf, The Bodies of Others is the book. You, Naomi, to synthesize all of this, I mean, to synthesize it as you have done in this book is pretty extraordinary. In a normal world, you know, you'd be reviewed, I think, pretty favorably or somewhat favorably in places like The Washington Post, The New York Times. We've entered a new world. It's like those institutions are dead. Whatever we might have expected in the past, it's dead. It is a bizarre shaking, as both of us have said. I am hopeful. I really do believe that God's not done with us. We're not sliding into the end times and to the rule of the Antichrist. Although Karl Schwab's a bad guy, but I am hopeful because a lot of things are being shaken up. But you and I, we've lived in such prosperity, and it's been so many decades of things kind of going along that I just think that we just never dreamt we could get here. Or maybe you did when you wrote your book in 2008. It seems like you did dream that we could get here.
I mean, I saw that it was possible. But even in 2008, you know, evil has a special flavor. Even in 2008, I saw that there could be like Stalinist level evil and totalitarianism. I did not foresee this level of, you know, principalities and powers and, you know, the magnitude of this evil, which is so much beyond just human bad politics, what human beings are capable of. I mean, I wrote an essay which, you know, is partly in the book that explains, just as you were saying earlier, that I looked at this evil from every perspective, from my whole knowledge base, everything I know about politics at the highest levels, including bad people doing bad things, everything I know about history. And I had to reach the conclusion that this was beyond human capability, and that the forces arrayed against humanity, you know, bad people, bad agents, as I spell out on the totally human material plane, but also like levels of sophistication that can't be accounted for. For example, AI is sort of a manifestation of this. AI now has the capability to tell a lie around the world and adjust the lie to human inputs in real time. And so that's why you had lies multiplying beyond what humans are capable of, like you know, every time you saw the word myocarditis, you'd see the phrase extremely rare. Every time you saw the phrase Delta variant, you'd see the phrase highly transmissible. The story about don't infect grandma, don't kill grandma if you see her at Thanksgiving was repeated in India, in Canada, in Australia, around the world in different languages at the same time. So AI has that functionality. And it's almost as if kind of Satan and AI have merged and created something so sophisticated to delude people. Like there's mass delusion going on, massive lies. Babies are dying. Neonatal deaths are up by a factor of double what the standard is in Scotland. And the research we've been doing with the Pfizer documents shows that there are harms to babies and newborns from vaccinated moms that are right there in the Pfizer documents. The BBC got $55 million from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And just this morning, they were saying, oh, no, 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 it can't be the vaccines. That's a satanic lie with everything that's at stake. So I guess what I concluded, I've always kind of believed in God, but witnessing this level of demonic coordination made me believe in God in a more literal way. And I do think there's an awakening, to end on a happy note, because I think all these things we took for granted, like childhood and breathing and singing and being able to worship or being able to have free assembly or to have a relationship to the earth that's organic, or, you know, schools, you know, all these things we took for granted as never being taken away from us, they were taken away from us. And I think now we see that there's the divine in that, you know, even our bodies and our faces, which are in the image of God, you know, we took those for granted and commodified them. And I think we are looking around saying, no, do not take these things away from us. We're going to, you know, ask God for help and protect these elements of the divine.
It's fascinating because I kind of came to faith because I saw satanic evil. I mean, I remember, I think I was 17 and I made the big mistake of going to see a screening. Obviously it had been out for a number of years, but of The Exorcist. And it was so horrifying, so genuinely satanic, that it drove me to God in a way that I never would have felt this desperation. God, I know you're real. I know you're the only antidote to this, because this is so horrible. And I guess the same thing happened to me really when I had my final conversion, when I read M. Scott Peck's book, The People of the Lie. He's a Harvard psychiatrist, politically liberal, and he writes a book talking about, as a psychiatrist, recognizing something with a certain smell that he began to say, as a psychiatrist, this is not really anything that makes any sense, other than to say this is called evil. And at the end of the book, he talks about an exorcism. And you just think, my goodness, this is M. Scott Peck. What, you know, why would he write about this? And I think that when you see evil, the upside is that it makes you think, then God must exist and he must be the only answer to this. And I think, frankly, that's a lot of what is happening here, because there are a lot of people that we'll never meet that have lived through this horror of the last 2 years. And we can only imagine what they're thinking. And obviously, both of us try to be voices of hope for them, to try to help them to navigate this and understand what is happening. But it's fascinating to me how, you know, when you talk about the human, we talked about this right in the beginning, but you know, why would anybody care about the human? I mean, if we really do believe that we sort of, you know, evolved out of the primordial soup through random processes, and there's nothing really meaningful or sacred or whatever, we're just here. If that's ultimately true, then who really cares about anything or about any subjective term like human? Transhumanism is just as good, probably better. It's just fascinating to me how we keep coming back to what we would call reality. There is something special about human beings and their bodies. We're not spiritual. I find it fascinating and hopeful that you in this book and a lot of others we're coming to appreciate some things that, as you were saying earlier, we hadn't appreciated. That's a true or false question. Just say true or false. No, I'm sorry.
True,
that's not really
true,
a question.
I agree.
it's not a question. But you, what is your hope for the book, Naomi? Because this is a huge effort. I can't believe what you've done in writing this.
Thank you. I mean, look, my hope for the book, it's the same hope I had for the beauty myth on a much lesser scale with a much less important subject. I do believe that when people understand how the pieces were put in place to harm them and lie to them, it empowers them, and that's the first step. So this book really, I think, pulls apart the curtain and shows people a number of lies and bad actors and motivations that were behind this great theater of evil and fear of the last 2 years. And it is my experience that when mythologies are deconstructed that harm people, there is free will and there is a liberation of the spirit. And then people are very creative in not being captured by lies in the future and mobilizing against lies and create, you know, we need to recreate all of our institutions basically from the ground up. I mean, you know, the media, medicine. And I hope this book will be a blueprint to help people see through the corruption and create that new America, that new world.
Do you think Bill Gates is an evil person? Do you think he's aware of what he's doing, or is he just kind of drifting along with something, not aware, conscious of what he's doing?
That's a great question. I mean, that's a great question because it raises the issue of culpability, right? Is he an unwitting asset, which is what the intelligence community calls someone who's doing the bidding of a knowledgeable kind of force behind the scenes? I think he's someone I'm sorry to be personal. I try never to be personal. He's clearly someone who's got fetishes and sociopathic tendencies.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Hey, who among us doesn't have I ask you just because I'm kind of curious, because there are these people that have amazing power, and obviously they're held to a higher standard because they have this power. Look, we've only scratched the surface, Naomi. We will have you back soon to continue the conversation. Congratulations on the book, The Bodies.
Thank you.
Of others, Naomi Wolf. We're grateful for you. Thank you, Naomi.
Thank you so much, Eric, and thanks for being such an important voice for me in the creation of it. I appreciate you.
In November of 2020, the Democrats were up to no good. They were planning to pull off the greatest scheme of election fraud in history. They didn't think we would catch them. But we did. Find out what they did and how they did it in the new documentary film called 2000 Mules, directed and narrated by renowned filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza and executive produced by Salem Media Group. With research from TrueTheVote.org, 2000 Mules tells the story of the ones who tried to hijack a presidential election. You'll see the actual video surveillance tapes. You'll see how we tracked their cell phones to box after box as they got paid to carry out this illegal scheme. Watch the movie and decide for yourself. Attend a limited release premiere of 2000 Mules in advance on May 2nd or May 4th. To see the movie in the theater, you must buy tickets in advance at 2000 Mules. Buy tickets for the virtual premiere at 2000mules.com. That's the number 2000mules.com.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
We used to laugh, we used to cry.
Folks, out of the frying pan, into the fire. We've been talking today about everything that's happening in the country and in the world. Now we're going to get really specific. We turn to my friend, old friend, Jeremy Story. We knew each other here in New York. He is now in Texas. He's a pastor. He heads up campus renewal, reaching out to college kids. And he has been through an experience that is chilling. And I am excited to get the word out about what is happening. Jeremy, welcome.
Thank you for having me today. I appreciate it.
To my audience who knows nothing about what happened, start from the beginning and explain what happened. You were in Texas. Tell the story.
Yeah, it's a long explanation, but a short version of it is that we were trying to expose the actions of a school board who had illegally hired a superintendent back in June. And we were we realized they had illegally hired him. Then we realized that he had allegedly the allegations, which we then later found out to be very credible and true and saw the evidence, that he had threatened his he was having an affair. He had threatened her when she refused to have an abortion. And basically threatened her that he would try to come and give her that abortion through assault.
Through assault.
She then approached the school board. The school board ignored her and instead told the superintendent that she had come to them, which then precipitated an alleged assault at her home. And they covered it all up. The superintendent ended up having...
Hang on. But I just want the headline here is that you are in Round Rock, Texas, a suburb of Austin, and
suburb
across the country, we have been seeing it's horrifying, but we have been seeing the nefariousness of all kinds of leaders and school boards at the top of the list. I mean, you know, every locality has a school board. You're telling me, and you've said this story on the program before, but that they illegally hired a superintendent.
And that's correct. They collaborated behind the scenes, gave them questions ahead of time, things like that.
And then, I mean, this is amazing what you just said. So he has an affair. He wants to force his girlfriend, whatever, to have an abortion, says he will assault her. Just, I mean, nightmare stuff. But where it becomes particularly interesting with regard to you and the school board is that she goes to the school board, if I just heard you correctly.
That's right.
Tries to tell them who this guy is, the superintendent, what he is doing, and the powers that be, what's their response to this?
To her, it's basically, we're not going to do anything. They don't offer to help her at all. There's seven members of the school board. Two of them actually offered to help her and said, this is a concern. The other five, which are the ones the lawsuit is now against, basically said, we're not going to do anything. And they prevented the other two from being able to put it on the board agenda so it wouldn't be discussed in public.
Okay, this is called corruption. This is called corruption. It's wickedness, but specifically with regard to laws, this is corruption. Yeah. So where do you get involved and what happened to you, Jeremy Story?
I went to a school board meeting where I witnessed them pull the superintendent out of the back room. He wasn't supposed to be there because he wasn't the superintendent yet. They were ostensibly discussing about whether to hire him. They then said, we got to hire him right now. They voted. Two people voted, no, we shouldn't hire him. We should vet him further. Five said, well, we're going to hire him right now. And then I witnessed them pull him out of the back room and surprise the other two that they didn't even know he was there. We witnessed the PR person for the district editing his acceptance video before the vote occurred, and so on and so on. And so then I went to that's when I found out the next month about this woman who had allegedly been assaulted and who had been having an affair with the superintendent. We found out immigration law, allegations of immigration law violation by the superintendent. And he's from Tunisia and ostensibly potentially had been using a marriage to bring in relatives from outside of the country illegally, by basically having a sham marriage. At least that's what he told the woman that he was having an affair with. And so I discovered all this. I began to take it to the school board privately via email. And the school board basically said, we're not going to do anything about it. Five of them did. Two said, the same two that voted to delay and vet further, said, we're concerned, but the other five won't let us put it on the agenda. So then I went to the school board meeting, and this gets to your question, and began to publicly testify because they had done nothing through my private approaches to them. In fact, they had said they weren't going to do anything. They emailed me back saying, we're not going to do anything about this. We don't need to talk to you. We don't need to find out any further evidence, none of that. I went to a school board meeting to speak about it. And when I arrived at that school board meeting, before I got to the stand, when it was my turn, they called me up. And this is all on video. It was on Fox News last week, even on their national news show. As I approached the stand to speak, as I was being called, peacefully walking up there, the board president said, you can't say what you're about to say. Now, mind you, I'd not said it, anything, because it's non-germane to our agenda. And I said back to her, actually, what I'm going to say is very germane to the agenda at hand. This is all on tape. Will you allow me to explain? And she says, no, you may not speak. And so I said, so what you're saying is I cannot even demonstrate to you. She said, yes. And then she went, oh, no, I mean, no, I mean, yes. And once she gave me permission to speak, I began to speak. I read from an item that was on the agenda that night and then began to explain how they weren't really concerned about safety, which is what this item was about. And the reason example was they were sitting next to a man who they knew had a protective order for family violence against him, and they were doing nothing about it. And the moment I got the word protective order out, the board president banged her gavel, yelled and screamed, that's inappropriate, you can't say that. She waved her hand, two cops came from behind, two school district police, grabbed me from my arms and literally drug me off the public comment stand. I had done nothing violent. I had done nothing. I hadn't cussed, yelled, screamed, threatened, nothing. Politely addressed her, even though she was aggressing against me. She then called the police to drag me out of the room.
We're going
to
be right back. Folks, do you understand what's happening in America? We're going to be right back to hear the rest of the story with Jeremy's story.
Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays.
Hey there, folks. Eric Metaxas here. I know you know how much I love Mike Lindell and MyPillow. Well, Mike Lindell and MyPillow right now are offering a BOGO extravaganza. BOGO, buy one, get one. BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who've changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. Right now, you get the buy one, get one free special. MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance My Pillows, the six-piece towel sets, and the roll-and-go anywhere My Pillows. Just go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com. Use the promo code ERIC. That's the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com. Use the code ERIC or call 1-800-978-3057, 1-800-978-3057. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select products. You'll also receive Mike's book absolutely free. You won't believe it. It's amazing. 800-978-3057 or MyPillow.com. Use the code ERIC.
Folks, I'm talking to an old friend, Jeremy Story. He is now in Round Rock, Texas, a suburb of Austin, and has been an eyewitness, more than an eyewitness, has been involved in uncovering tremendous corruption on the school board there. And this is of concern to everybody in this country. This kind of corruption is unacceptable in America, and we have to speak against it. And so, Jeremy, you were just saying that suddenly they are physically dragging you out of there. This is, you know, It's like we say, it's like out of a third world country. What in the world? An American citizen speaking calmly, trying to bring
light to some of these dark things, and they drag you out of there.
That's correct. And in a later meeting, another gentleman spoke up. His name is Dustin Clark. And he said, hey, you are holding people outside this room with police, which they were doing. They were preventing parents from entering the room. It's a lot more details. We don't have time on the show. Basically, they're preventing them from coming in. They had restricted seating from a 375-person room down to 18 people. And he stood up and said they had just passed a tax increase. Two board members, those same two that had voted against the superintendent, had left the room because they were scared of violating Texas law. The five remaining then voted a tax increase in. And this gentleman, Dustin Clark, stood up and said, you can't do this. This is all illegal. And they called the cops on him and had him hauled out of the room the same way they did
how
me.
How can they call the cops on law-abiding because Americans?
In Texas,
he's a former Army captain.
School district police, and they answer to the superintendent. And so the superintendent basically controls them. And so long story short is, after all this happens, 30 days after my incident, they show up at my house. Not they, but they leverage our local Democrat sheriff to show up at our house with his office, where his officers did, and they arrested Dustin and I at his home and my home simultaneously and put us in jail. And so now,
okay,
this
hang on.
In the last few days, we filed a lawsuit against the school district for civil rights violations.
Okay, but I mean, this is insane. You are arrested at your home and put in jail. Why?
That's correct.
How can
overnight.
They do that? This is in Texas, folks. This is in Texas. Why were you put in jail? For what?
They said, based on the incident I just described on your show, they said that I was being intent to disrupt the meeting through disorderly conduct. Although I was the only person treated like that all night, there were people that yelled, cussed, and even aggravated other people at the stand. There were other people that did horrible things in that meeting. None of them were addressed. I actually spoke peacefully, but because I was outing the board, in particular the board president and a few of the malfeasant board members, they came after me. I was treated completely different. So our lawsuit is against the violation of freedom of speech, against the right to redress your government. They violated that, both First Amendment rights, and equal protection under the laws, because they specifically targeted Dustin Clark and I because they did not want to be exposed and tried to shut us down. They also unlawfully increased taxes. They unlawfully hired a superintendent. And the superintendent himself has a variety of, we believe, legal violations like immigration law, assault, other things that we believe are very credible allegations against him. And so, yeah, we ended up being in jail, unlawfully imprisoned on top of that. And so that's why we have filed this suit, not for just Round Rock, although it is, in our instance, we want to shift to Round Rock and the Austin area, but specifically across the country, because this case is about parents' rights everywhere. If we were allowed to be arrested for simply saying the truth, and that's allowed, then it creates a chilling effect in school boards all across this nation. And we can't have that, because there's a reason why it's the First Amendment. The right to redress your government and the right to freedom of speech are the basis of almost all of our other rights being able to be maintained.
I mean, again, this is corruption. This is evil in the United States of America. This is happening. Nothing is more sacred than the relationship between parents and their kids. The idea
Absolutely.
That anyone would high-handedly dare to try to shut you up, to intimidate you, to bully you. I am thrilled that you have brought a lawsuit. Where is that now? What is the state of the suit?
They're being served this week, and we will proceed forward with that legal action after they're served. You know, they know about it because we've made that clear to them. They'll officially be served this week.
If people want to know more about you and this lawsuit, where can they go? What websites can they go to, Jeremy?
RiseForStudents.org, RISEFOR, students.org. Very important. You can get all the details there. You can get the full aspect of the full suit is actually there, all 70 and 80 pages of it. We're not hiding anything. We have nothing to hide. And also you can help us by giving, because we have raised all the money to do this. We're not independently wealthy like the school district, where they can spend millions of dollars on lawyers. And so we are raising every dollar to do this, and people can donate there online. And every last bit of it goes straight to a nonprofit that's funding our legal, and it goes to a fund that's being funding our legal. So it's tax deductible, and we don't get a dime of it. But basically, we're able to fight the school district on this on behalf of parents here in Round Rock. But also, ultimately, this is across the country, because this case, riseforstudents.org again, but this case combines education, abortion, and official corruption and parental rights, which are all things that are literally in the news this week. I mean, our attorney general was just accused by Jim Jordan and others of the judicial committee of lying about the FBI investigating parents who are simply speaking up at their board meetings. We're an example of how the issue of abortion, parental rights, education, corruption, all that is being blended into one case where we were literally arrested for simply speaking our minds and trying to expose things that were affecting children in our area.
So the website is RISE, R-I-S-E, for students. R-I-S-E,
yeah.
For student, F-O-R. RISE
and
for students.
And we definitely need people to help us give to fund the legal bills. So it's the school district, these leaders can just do whatever they want with almost impunity because they just depend on the money that comes from our taxes. And they use that money then to pay lawyers to defend them from malfeasant actions.
I mean, I want to say it again. It's riseforstudents.org. Riseforstudents.org. People around this country need to wake up, need to get involved. There's lots more of this kind of nefariousness and corruption around the country, but we need more heroes like you, Jeremy Story, and like Dustin Clark, this former Army captain, to step up and to say, not here, not in America. We are a nation of laws. The consent of the governed. We pay taxes. We decide what happens. We decide what kind of education our kids will get. That's the way it ought to be. But we have to fight. And so I'm grateful for you. We'll be right back to talk more with Jeremy Story. Don't go away.
My fist got hard. My wits got keen. Roam from town to town to hide my shame. But I made me a vow to the moon and stars. I'd search the honky-tonks and bars and kill that man.
Folks, we're talking about America, and in this case specifically Round Rock, Texas, a suburb of Austin, where we just have thuggish, corrupt behavior and a few civilian heroes trying to deal with it, bringing a lawsuit. Jeremy Story is my guest. You talk about, Jeremy, that school police bear-hugged you around a pole and pushed you to the ground to keep you and other parents from entering a public board hearing. This is like
That's
something
correct.
Out of another time and another world. The idea
That's right.
that in America, this is happening.
Yeah. After they yanked me out of that first board meeting, I came back to a later board meeting and just simply tried to walk in the room, but they were prepared at that point to try to stop any public word about this matter. And so they literally had put police officers at the front doors of the boardroom, and they were standing there ignoring all the parents in the hallway, not answering any questions, and trying to keep people from going into a public meeting. No one was being threatening, or no one was doing anything like that. We were simply trying to walk into a board meeting. And like I said, it had about 375 chairs in the room, or there was a capacity for that. But they had removed all chairs except for 18 and were saying, unless you sit in one of these government-approved chairs, literally that was the words of the board chair, unless you sit in one of these government-approved chairs, you cannot be in this room. And so when I tried to walk around the police to go into the room, which is the right of every parent to walk into a school board meeting, I didn't aggress against them or anything. I just tried to walk around them. That's when they pushed me to the ground, grabbed me around a pole, all kinds of things.
Okay, so let's be clear. So the district we're talking about, and this district is what, the Round Rock, Texas district?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Round Rock ISD, suburb of Austin.
Okay, so it seems like we're talking about corruption, crime, evil. They have a $30 million deficit.
That's right.
Because of a dramatic decrease in enrollment, over 4,000 students less than they would. So they're in free fall. And they're basically trying to use power to bully themselves to bully others so that they can have a future, because this thing is going down in flames.
In fact, Eric, right now, those five board members are trying, literally this week at a school board meeting, they're trying to censure one of those two others that have been trying to expose this. They tried to censure them several months ago and failed. So now they're trying again to censure one of those board members named Danielle Weston to try to make her look bad because she's been exposing them. So even this week, they are still trying, after the lawsuit was filed, to malfeasantly censure one of the other board members.
Okay, and And it's Attorney General, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, a hero, has recently agreed to do a full investigation of the school district. These people have to be scared because they had a good thing going here, but it looks like it's falling apart and they're going to be in trouble.
All the local agencies in our area have declined to investigate now, which means the attorney general can step in, and he has chosen to. But he's decided not just to investigate what the, quote, charges are against me and Dustin, or Dustin and I. Instead, he said, I want to investigate the whole district and all of these complaints that have been coming to my office that are open meetings violation complaints, immigration law violations, all these things. And he wants to do a full investigation. Dustin and I are convinced that we will be exonerated and the school district will be penalized. But we're also going after them directly with their own lawsuit. And we're not just suing the district. We're suing each one of these actors individually, the superintendent, the board members, the police officers. It's not our desire. We're not anti-police. We're not anti-schools. We actually are pro-schools, pro-students, pro-teachers, pro-police, but against malfeasant actors trying to leverage power to basically destroy education in our area.
These are evil people, and that's exactly what they're doing, and you have to come against them. And I thank God for Attorney General Ken Paxton. But we're going to stay on this. Jeremy Story, thank you. Again, folks, if you want more, go to riseforstudents.org. It's R-I-S-E-F-O-R, riseforstudents.org. Jeremy, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for covering this and helping get people involved and giving and donating and all. It's very important for us to be able to move forward for parents across the country. Thank you, Eric.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.